My name's Bill.
Hey, Bill.
And says we have to welcome you again to the first annual Chesapeake Potomac Tradition Workshop. Okay. And our 11 tradition states. What is this? If there's anyone from the press, please no photographs, and see Kermit for assistance. I'm reading exactly what he put here.
See Kermit for photographs.
Okay, and are there any program announcements? Okay, I guess there was none of them. So, we'll open up with a serenity prayer. God, grant us the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Okay, could we have... Jim, would you read the 12 traditions, please?
Larry.
Okay, Larry, would you read them?
What?
The 12 traditions?
We both got large eyes.
don't tell me that.
Matic?
Larry?
Well, it doesn't have the lead in, does it? Keep what we have only with vigilance.
Right. Okay, go ahead.
With vigilance. And justice, freedom for the individual comes from the 12 steps. So freedom for the groups springs from our traditions. As long as the ties that bind us together are stronger than those that will tear us apart, all will be well. First, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on inner unity. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop using. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or NA as a whole. Each group has one primary purpose: to carry the message to the addict who still suffers. An NA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the NA name to any related or outside enterprise, lest problems with money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seventh, every NA group ought to be fully self-supporting. Imagine that. Declining outside contributions. Narcotics Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Narcotics Anonymous as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. Narcotics Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the Narcotics Anonymous name ought never to be drawn into public controversy. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of radio, press radio, and film. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Please talk into the mic.
Okay, Larry.
Gotcha.
Thank you. And what we're doing here today is going over traditions as they did in the prior two workshops. And we get the seventh, the eighth, and the ninth tradition. And this... The seventh tradition is every NA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. And I read this tradition over and over and over again because it became a primary problem in my home area where. People would say that NA has no set things where you have to give money to, or there ain't no charges or whatever. There ain't no prices put on recovery. And I don't know. I had to read this tradition, and I had to go and search it, because we do have my home group is self-supporting, and it has to pay money to a church for a room, and members want refreshments, members want literature. And the biggest cry, we went through a Woodstock era for some funny reason in our area, where everybody wanted everybody to give everything away for nothing, and nobody wanted to put anything into the basket for a long period of time. And we had the same problem with a convention we had the Fourth East Coast, where they just wanted to let everybody in for free. And it was comical, because we had to keep going back to this tradition. And we are responsible if we become members of Narcotics Anonymous. And it's some reason I searched through where I was within the steps, and that I had to go back to that all through my life. I was a person that didn't want to be responsible. And what happened with this tradition, it gave me the self-worth. And I believe that's what it hit in a couple of certain areas in the reading of it over. And I was just reading that their booklet that we got back from World Literature, the how and why it works. And I was reading in there, and it got to the key issues again of the same thing, that it allowed us that privilege of being able to be self-supporting, so we could, it brought the self-worth back out in us, that nobody was carrying the load for us. And it also allowed us that we wouldn't have to become affiliated with any other set organizations. And it helped protect a lot of the other traditions in that area. It helped protect the sixth tradition, where we didn't have to endorse any set, quote, organization outside of Narcotics Anonymous, and we didn't have to affiliate ourselves with any other set organization. And through the self-supporting thing, what happened was that my home group didn't have to align itself with a set religion, because we meet in their church basement. And we didn't have to do their Bible study for them, or preach Christianity in our group, because we're paying rent for that room. And that's all we're doing, a rent and a room there. And we meet in their basement, and we meet when basically there's... we don't have to go through the church building when their church is meeting, and it allows us to not have to violate personally the sixth tradition. And what happened in the group build up a prudent reserve, and in the beginning it states in this tradition where, and in the beginning in most new areas where people hook the help line up in their homes. And we do things on very slim budgets, and a lot of times we barely meet our rent requirements, you know. And but we have a feeling of self-worth through it. And what happened was my home area, we start building up a prudent reserve, and we start getting a little bit too much money in a group, and so there had to be something to do with this here money. And what happened, we were allowed to move money on to do more service for ourselves, to allow us to be get public information work done in our area, to hook up a helpline outside of the member's home, so the member could get his personal life back. Anybody that had a helpline in their home must know of... your privacy is taken over, which I had the privilege of having a helpline in my home at one time, and not being able to actually serve as a 24-hour helpline as we need it in our area. And we could not carry the message and take them helpline calls that we need to do. And by being self-supporting and passing the basket around, and putting my dollar in the basket, which became important. It's an important part of my recovery to be self-supporting, and in my home group, and it's a personal commitment to me, which I participate in, is putting my dollar in the basket, and because I do say I'm a member of Narcotics Anonymous, and I believe when I say I'm a member, that I have to look at this tradition and realize, being a member, that I do have a responsibility to help support this group and this organization that I'm participating in, called Narcotics Anonymous. I do have that responsibility when I become a member, because being a member to me is upholding the 12 steps and 12 traditions in my life today, and participating in them, an active member that I choose to call myself today. And before I got clean, I stole a con, I begged, and I sold myself in my addiction to stay high. And I felt like shit. And when I come into Narcotics Anonymous, he's left me have that there feeling part of. And that's what, when the basket come around, at first I was really resentful. I thought I was back in a religious organization. Because I used to hate that when I used to go to church when I was a kid, and they used to pass the basket around. I knew I stole the quarter that my parents gave me and went to the pinball joint. And I put in the pinball machine, and then they passed, and I watched, and it's like I thought everybody was watching me. And when they first passed the basket, and then, hey, I looked around, and there was something, no one was watching me for some funny reason. It's like the basket went around, and I went in my pocket, and I hit it, and I do weird stuff. I fold up my dollar bills today, and I don't want anybody to see it, and I fold them up real small, and I drop them in real fast. And it's like, it's my personal part of my recovery to help this program stay self-supporting, so it doesn't have to get involved in I believe, this, the endorsing other things, that we don't become responsible to other organizations, and we don't have to promote JCPenney clothing, you know, and we don't have to promote different organizations. And that's the way I personally look at it at this point. And I've asked Jim and Larry here to participate in this workshop, because I believe they have a lot more knowledge than I have in this area. They've been around a little bit longer than me. They've been involved a little bit longer than me. And so I'll turn it over to the Jim.
Yes. Thanks, Bill. Let me get real close to this. I always write a few things down so I don't forget them. I guess a lot of the discussion that I have about traditions today is sort of in the form of questions. When I look at the seventh tradition, every NA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Basically, what I see in the word self-supporting and contributions is money, that we're talking about money. But I feel possibly that we're talking about more than money in this tradition. I feel that to the extent we're able in our home group, that we ought to be fully self-supporting in terms of other things than just money. Because I think the seventh tradition ties into to the others a whole lot, and the eighth and the ninth follow the seventh, and those are the three we're talking about. We support ourselves financially. That's the first part of this tradition that I see. But I think we continue to support ourselves in other ways. You know, we support ourselves with the services that we're able to provide for ourselves. Sponsorship, I think, is a big one in our group. We support ourselves with group sponsorship, and we support each other with our sponsorship. And I think as our group matures, we can even more fully decline outside contributions in terms of sponsorship. In the very beginning, it was real difficult to do that. But I think making a commitment to Narcotics Anonymous required me, in my life, to allow Narcotics Anonymous to provide my sponsorship. I think it goes on further than that. We participate in providing the other services that we need as a group. But in trying to be fully self-supporting, our group finds that we can't do, everything that we need to do in terms of services. So what we do is we pass our money along through the service structure. We ask an area service committee to form. We find a place to get together with other groups. And we pass our money along to that area service committee so that collectively with other groups we can be self-supporting. We can get the things done that we need to do. Well, anyway, I won't go any further with that than that. I have a few other questions. I think this tradition is about more than money, as I've stated, and I wonder if that's right or wrong. Maybe I'm wrong about that. I think as a group treasurer, I'm a group treasurer, that the seventh tradition is where I seek the experience that's my primary guidelines. There's another guideline in there that says in what is the NA program that Narcotics Anonymous is a non-profit fellowship or society. And what I'd like to share about a little bit is what I perceive as some of my spiritual responsibilities and practical responsibilities, which really aren't any different as a group treasurer in terms of seventh tradition. One is that if we're self-supporting, if Narcotics Anonymous is self-supporting, then that means to me that because the group is really what Narcotics Anonymous is, that our group needs to be non-profit. That means once a year, as a treasurer, I got to zero the books. Okay. And that's part of my spiritual responsibility to be what we say we are. Also, I see as one of my spiritual responsibilities as a treasurer to find out all those services being done in the name of Narcotics Anonymous and how much they cost at every level of service and divide that up and find out what my group's share of that is and let them know that, that our share in order to be part of this collective self-supporting thing in Narcotics Anonymous as a whole, that our share of that, what we've requested in terms of services other than those that we can provide for ourselves, amounts to this many dollars. And that gives the group an opportunity then to look at the eighth and the ninth tradition and see if we're being responsible with our money collectively as a fellowship, if we have anything to say about that. I think further the spiritual responsibility of a treasurer in terms of the ninth tradition is to help us not become diverted from our primary purpose through money. I guess property and prestige is also kind of functions of money. To keep money in its place, to keep it in its right. I don't think I need to be putting money in a bank account that earns interest. And making money on money. This is my perception. I don't think we need to be saving up a whole lot of money to have a dance when we haven't informed our local community that we exist, that our group's there. I don't think that, I guess I might catch some flack on this. I think I need to share with my group that the ninth tradition and the seventh tradition are really, really connected to each other. And if we perceive those services we've created as not being directly responsible, that we have an option to try to perform them ourselves and be fully self-supporting within and of ourselves. Maybe even I have a responsibility to encourage my group to be as fully self-supporting with our money in terms of services as we can. Our group does a lot of things. We perform our own public information. We have our own H&I committee. We carry the message into institutions under our fifth tradition, and by utilizing the seventh tradition, are self-supporting in that way. We don't depend on a collection of groups in an area committee to do that for us. We perceive it as our responsibility. I think that this is an issue, this tradition, and the things that it brings up in terms of self-supporting, and what that means to us in terms of self-worth, self-esteem, spiritual responsibility, and dignity, and what's that other word? It's always hard for me to say. Discipline. Right. Discipline. Those are real important considerations, things that we need to take a look at, write down, and share with each other. With that, I'm going to pass on to Larry.
I'm Larry. I'm an addict.
Hi, Larry.
If I'm going to make it not simple for you, but easy on me, I have recently had a lot of things going through, running around and going through, and I would jot myself some notes during my meditation time in the morning, and I had these series of disconnected, disjointed things that I would start to write, and some trivia thing would get in the way, like going to work and things like that. But over the past maybe 8-9 months or so, had all these little disjointed things that I would start to write and then lose it somewhere about the second pot of coffee. And in gathering and reviewing, collecting those things back together again and reviewing them, strangely enough, some of them fit together. One almost sounded like the other. This thing sort of formed out of, you know that feeling like, wow, I never saw that before. Mm-hmm. And in jest, I picked up the old service manual and said, let's see if they've changed any. And they haven't changed. What's happening, I come to believe, is that, you know, I'm the one that's changing, and the longer I continue to not use, go to meetings and change my entire life, these awarenesses and things that I become aware of and perhaps given ability to see some of these things starting to form and fit and mold together and coming to a point where I haven't got it all together yet, but there are very few of these traditions that will stand alone. They flow so much together that in reading some of these disjointed things that I had written, at times it was difficult to tell which tradition I was writing about at the time as I reread it. But here, I guess we're addressing 7, 8, and 9, and I'd like to pick up somewhere about there. I would really like to pick up about 4. It's 4. The fourth tradition for me why try and fake it, Larry? Why don't I just read it?
Right. Good.
Okay. Let's see if I can get it where I can see it. We are given a lot of responsibility with autonomy. Autonomy is a double-edged sword. My first reaction, is to that of freedom to do it however I want it. Yet the other side of the coin holds us to be autonomously responsible to fulfill all requirements as expressed in the tradition, to maintain and guarantee that freedom. These responsibilities may weigh heavy and become difficult. In carrying the message of recovery from addiction to Narcotics Anonymous, we have the responsibility for containing that message of, by, for, and within Narcotics Anonymous only, so that that which we have received freely will remain available to the newcomers, old-timers, so that this program will be available for your children and their children. The financial responsibility of an autonomous group to pay for services rendered through our own contributions, declining outside contributions, to pay for meeting space, to pay for coffee service, to pay for literature printing services, distribution services, to pay for the services of a trusted servant we send to share our good and bad experience in carrying the message, and the good news and guidance that that servant may get from other groups to help us. We're responsible to pay for meaningless services, to pay for hotline services, to willingly pay for all services needed by the group to help us fulfill our primary purpose. With self-sacrificing donations we put in the basket, the spiritual principles and values offered to us in the seven tradition can have a profound influence on our self-esteem, character, and a secure feeling of being a part of it. It would be a shameful waste of opportunity to gain this. It would be a shameful waste of opportunity to gain the spiritual effects of this practice if it were taken away from us. It would be a shame to deny an addict the opportunity to share in these things by paying his way for him, her way for her, as so many enablers have done for us in the past. It would be a shame to lose the motivation to contribute by having a fundraiser committee hustle some money for us, by selling chances, kisses, dances, spaghetti dinners, raffles, selling cars, raffle off a watch or a car, getting into the business of making money to pay for those group services, by establishing businesses to produce a profit to pay for group services, to hold fundraiser dances, conventions, and the like. We can rob the group member of motivation for sacrifice. We should not use profits on literature to pay for group services. Instead of reducing the cost on literature, instead of reducing that cost of carrying the message in written form, we desperately need our social functions to replace that void of old people, places, and things. So does a newcomer. So do the unemployed and the unemployable and the underemployed. We need to provide these things so that all may attend with a feeling of dignity and self-value, self-worth, self-pride. We need to use the excess money made on one social function, dances, conventions, picnics, etc., to reduce the cost of the next social function so that many more may participate in a much-needed part of recovery life. We need to carry the message in written form. Imagine how many paperback books you could give away for $8.80 instead of paying for group services and denying the recovery act the opportunity of spiritual growth. Until it would get difficult, the responsibilities go on. Each and every group has the responsibility of seeing to it that each board and every group has the responsibility of seeing to it that each board and each committee it creates to perform a specific task remain responsive and responsible to those that create it, and provides the services needed, but only those services exactly expressed by the Narcotics Anonymous group. We must responsibly make visible the availability of recovery from addiction anonymously. Spiritual reward are ours for the asking by anonymously practicing these principles in all affairs, free of the need for personal recognition. That sort of jumped on into something else. But I remember going back quite some time ago, as the basket came around, I reached in my pocket and came up with an assortment of things that probably didn't amount to much more than 73 cents. And I reached out to put it in the basket. The man sitting next to me was my sponsor. He grabbed my arm and he just sort of shook his head. And I thought, wow, I just saved 73 cents. And he said, don't you have any folding money with you? I said, well, yeah, I got $2, but that's for lunch tomorrow. He said, we're here. So I was grateful to have a $1 lunch the next day. And I felt good about it. A little hungry, but I felt good about it. The spiritual, you know, that's one of the areas where, so often and for so long, I'd say, what spiritual principles? What are they? Why don't they tell us what they are instead of, you know, all this implying? One of the first actions an individual can take, still shaking, still not able to hold a full cup of coffee, one of the first things that a recovering addict can practice in the way of a spiritual principle is just that. You know, that one's there right in front of him, you know, to reach in his pocket.
Here.
So, you know, for so long, we've had so many others to come up with ways to help us get by instead of us working at getting by, instead of sacrificing. And the snowball that seems to have developed in the past 4 years, fundraiser after fundraiser after fundraiser, after convention profits, after God knows what. And I shudder to think when I see the example set at the world level, sending out convention guidelines that are saying, well, you spend 50% on your next convention or pay Al-Anon's bill or something, and you spend 50% on paying for group services. Jesus.
I heard it.
I just don't understand. Now, how can we take that away from the addict? And where will it lead us? And they say the ties bind us. As long as we're vigilant with them, all will be well. When I see that vigilance deteriorating to
making
one small exception and using that small exception to another larger exception, then justifying something else,
and
end up with something distorted that doesn't really go back to the responsibilities placed on the groups by the tradition addressing the groups. I don't know, I'm grateful for the past couple of years that some of these have come together. I'm coming to an understanding that perhaps ignorance now, perhaps I know now what they meant when they said ignorance is bliss. But the more I seem to learn and the more I seem to understand as I understand it, and maybe I am out in left field. Maybe that's why I'm getting so uncomfortable with it. I don't know. But it seems that the more I learn and go in that direction, the more uncomfortable I get with the direction I see Narcotics Anonymous going in. I believe in many things that I have seen written. And I believe when they say, as long as the ties that bind us are stronger, all will be well. But that implies something. It implies that if they're not, they won't be. My sponsor had a way of calming me down after an area circus meeting or some wild ass crazy about something that didn't go my way at one circus or another. And he would say, "It's okay. We're still going to go to meetings. We're still going to carry that guy to meetings. We're still going to help him get cleaned up. We're still going to keep on doing things no matter what they do. No matter what they say at the region or the world. We're still going to do these things. The Kaisanamas is too big. Man, I'm going to die." And I believe that. Just as I believed I would never use again. The longer I'm clean and the more I learn about me, the more I become aware that it's not only a depression but a lie. Vulnerable, the more aware I become of my vulnerability, that I may, if I don't watch my ass, I may get loaded again. Recently, I won't go into a long thing about it, but recently I became aware of some rumors that were coming back and some of the names attached to it. I just simply couldn't accept that because I had known some of those names and known some of the people to be what he refers to as N.A. soldier. You know, they were in their working service everywhere you went, everything you saw them there when they were working. Now, some of those names recently were attached to a rumor of a splinter group. And I asked about it, and people would quickly jump in and take inventory of what they thought about those people, what was wrong with them. And I asked Billy about it. I was talking to him. He said something to me in the rumor thing. I said, "Yeah, I don't like to get into these rumors." And he said, "Well, I'm too fatty." He says, "I don't like to either." Stop them. And this is what he told me. So I heard then that the splinter group, primarily, not because it was a cause of the other accusations that I threw and took the inventory, simply that they were uncomfortable with the loosening ties. Or they chose to follow a direction where they would adhere strictly, puritanically, if you will, or however, to those traditions and whatever. Now, I'm not going to justify their existence, and I'm not going to condemn it either. What I did hear was a message. I heard the message that I might use, and I heard and saw a small voice out there saying to narcotics, "It can happen. Those ties and it can happen. It will." The message I heard was, "We better get our shit together in a plastic bag instead of a fishnet, because I would like a recovery program available for my son, my daughter, her son, children. It has profoundly affected my life, which I will be grateful. And my gratitude has me just continue where and how and what I can to encourage that the ties remain tight, be tightened up again if they did get loose, if they are coming loose. Other than that, it's a beautiful day."
Thank you.
Okay.
Just listening to Larry and Jim, Jim had asked a question traditionally about money. And what ran through my mind was manpower. Are we self-supporting power? Are we giving that manpower we need at this point? I believe that this tradition does have that, is the manpower of our heads, which we have to support. Emotional support behind what we're doing. Are we getting that emotional support? You know, and I believe we have to look at this, and it's a question that has to be asked in our group conscious meetings. And I believe it applies to the seventh. Literature.
You know?
Are we self-supporting? Literature. And I believe we have to look at these things. And another thing mentioned there, I just ask, you know, fundraisers and convention, et cetera, make us supporting. You know, fit into us. I know our area, we host something. We don't try to make money off conventions. We hosted two things. Our area did not send any money to a service conference, did not send any money to service, or did not send it to any service structure except sent it to an institution. We hosted the Fourth East Coast. Profits went to the Fifth Coast. Our area just did another thing, and a motion from our area put it on the flag, you know, that any proceeds be put in an account for next year's function, be put into the service structure. So they would have their heart up, would not have to go through the insane. And another prudent motion for an appropriate conference that we have to answer this year. There was a motion last year's conference for WSO to pay for the budget if the fellowship don't send enough money through the fund collection. If we're not sending money, are we being self-supporting through through that service structure set up to serve us? And I'd like to answer that in our group, because I don't believe we should be asking WSO Incorporated to pay for a budget we set if we can't afford it. And the motion that was out last year, conference to hold a fundraiser every July in the past. I'd like to know the conference how this changed our fund flow system. And, I believe the accepting contract, which is, has to deal with outside benefactors and open outside influence, we can't afford the practice because we must hold onto our freedom. This tradition implications for larger service of NA. We believe that all the service cowards abide by the 12th tradition. I mean, that's what the 7th, you know, and like on the floor for questions or answers to questions that we ask, or anybody's experience, strength, and hope that they can share with us on the 7th tradition at this time. Please use that mic there and speak. Who wants to go first?
It's not mistletoe hanging, but
well, if no one wants to, I guess we can go right into the tradition. No one has any questions and experiences or strength to share with me.
Yes, Mike. Hi, Debbie, and I'm an addict.
Debbie, could you please speak into the mic being recorded?
It's part of the support through literature.
Dealing with the convention of it and the service structure and the money, you know, for me, most areas of service I've participated in, that we really get all it gets to money. Where is it going? Is it going to? Why? And I think basically, seventh tradition, it's not that. You know, it diverts that primary purpose, right? It seems as addicts, we are hung up in the money. He is hosting the world. For me, go out the window and find the people in service, just like we were talking about, to put convention on and get outside how much money we're going to make. What did the last one make? Why did they have this amount? I think that's, you know, giving out of what we are striving for, the purpose. We have a slogan, Unified Stand, in 1985. Money has torn us clean apart. You know, right now, the only thing we're into, how much money can we raise a month? We have the attitudes, the most involved. Where's not anonymous? I don't hear that anymore. Where's the work? Well, I'm the one that's burnt out. I'm doing all the t-shirts. You know, nobody else is helping me do this. We got a quota, $1,200 a month. I don't see where that's necessary. I believe that whatever happens, there's going to be a world adventure. It's going to go off just the way God planned it. And the emotions that I believe that seven to death and the principles in that step is that growth isn't going there. And for us, for me, I see where we get at. We get all of that money, you know what I'm saying? We forget about growing. Where can we stop right now and change? Where can we better ourselves, right? And it's in the money. Well, why send it to the world? That new conference thing with this about how to set up a world connection. It's all to grow to a goddamn going profit. When why should we even make one? Pay for the convention. If they had a dime left over, I'd be grateful. I'd be grateful. You know, I wish I wish, I don't know where it started at, but for me, I choose to believe that the World Convention was to get a group of addicts to share their strength, hope, and experience all around the world to see that we are not unique and that we do not, you know, and I come in the midst of this thing and I sit down just to give service because it was a great idea. I wanted to see it. You know, I wanted to be a part of it. And here I am still working. I worked to get it, you know, the little part that I could put in it. And I'm still sitting through it, you know, but all I hear is money. All I see is people going through a lot of strain about how we're going to get it, how we're going to get it. It's there. But what we're supposed to be getting now, we're missing, you know, and the group self-supporting or whatever, the group's going to make it. It's a lot of work for whatever individual or whoever started a group to get it started. I hear that a lot of times, loaner groups, how they get started. That group works if we meet outside on a boat right there on the water, if it's a Narcotic Anonymous meeting. But when do we stop as individuals, me as a recovering addict, to stop looking into your personality and your mouth, what your mouth is saying, stop interpreting the traditions right then and there the way I want them to be for me, you know, because I want things to be my way. And I heard somebody ask the question, is that first part of that tradition saying, you know, really dealing with money? I think it is really dealing with money. But I think it's there for our awareness, you know, not for us to feed into. It's there for us to be aware of. And then the power that we're supposed to use as an example is just like you were saying, the service part of it, the manpower, and not the money. But if they don't place it in front of us, we'll run away with the self-supporting part and stick straight to the money. A group is going to make it, whether we put a dollar in, because that's the way I started. I didn't have car fare. But I felt bad when I couldn't put a penny in there. And if I had a penny, my penny went in there. You know, that was my support of that group. And I don't care which group I went to. Being in the fellowship a little while, you know, I go in groups, I say, well, I don't want to support this because they talk about that S word out of that other fellowship and they don't do this and they don't say that my way. And I'm afraid of groups dying. But the group is Narcotic Anonymous and everything else is a service to that group. And if we don't start there, somewhere, right, and stop blowing things out of proportion with this money. They told me, or y'all told me when I came in here, in order to keep what I got to give it away. If that mean all the daggone money I got in the world to get out of that emotional bind and out of the growth that I'm supposed to be getting to fulfill my life, then I'm lost. I might die. Not just the group, you know, but I make a group. I might die, you know, and that's really what I'm concerned with. I want to live. So I don't care if the world got it, Jublip, the region, or whoever. It's coming back to Debbie because I'm getting mine right off the top of the program, for real. And that's right in the group. And my wish, my concern right now is that basically I want to know, you know, with the traditions, I hear a lot of interpretation, a lot of opinion. But they told me the traditions were black and white. You know, you don't have to interpret them. All you got to do is read them and accept what's there in black and white. And if we as individuals get outside of putting our opinion inside of it, what it reads, just like I just did, you know, how the hell I know if that's right or wrong? My thinking can make it so. But I believe that that's the principle that we must apply. You know, money, I hate it. You know, it's the root of evil. And it can tear Narcotic Anonymous apart if we let it. If we let it. Somebody wrote those principles. Somebody wrote those traditions. Somewhere down the line is what I'm saying. And there was a purpose behind it. And the purpose was to keep us from hurting ourselves because we as addicts will destroy our own selves. You know, but who knows the truth of that tradition if we're not going to follow somebody's lead that it did work for to keep the confusion out is what I'm saying. Where is it? You know, me as a newcomer, and I choose to remain the newcomer, to remain teachable in it. I heard you say a lot of things about making groups down to zero. I never thought about that before, but maybe if we did get out of that, maybe we would get out of the profit making. You know, the group is supposed to be profit. If it's not having something to contribute to area, where is it going? All, you know, this is what we're dealing with right now in D.C. area service, and I go through it. I sit through it, you know, and I see things, I hear things, and I can't say whether I like it. I feel strongly that it's wrong. I don't feel like that's our purpose. But to serve, I have to serve me first, Like, I wish we could just throw the money out the damn window, because it just takes away from the beginning of everything. Thank you.
I need to share something. I'm chilling at it.
Hi, Jim.
There's something that I learned in several years of real active service to this fellowship. And that's this. And it's been universal. If the spiritual purpose is right and we're willing, the money's always there. And I think that's something we really miss. We really miss in our service boards and committees, in all our financial planning and funding. It's a spiritual program, and if the spiritual purpose is right and we're willing, the money is always there. Always. And I've seen it happen time after time after time, defying all logic, defying all sorts of corporate business planning schemes, defying anything that any of the rules that apply to the outside world in the spiritual fellowship. If the spiritual purpose is right and we're willing, the money's always there. And I think that's what sets me at ease. You know, when we get done with all our gyrations about money, I believe, you know, working these steps and trying to share through the traditions, that we'll all come to some understanding, basic understanding of something similar to that. I really believe that that's a spiritual truth.
Kermit informed me that we're going to have to get out of here. We started late, and we're going to have to get out on time, though, okay? So I'm going to take one more on this here, and it was Billy Z.